Welcome to Slaking Thirsts, a podcast that's all about bringing the thirst deep within our hearts for love and communion to the heart of Christ, a divine heart, who is seeking our love and communion in return. The hope is that the two thirsts would meet and both thirsts would be slaked.
Deacon had a little chuckle at that line about grinding of teeth in that first reading. They need some mouth guards in the Acts of the Apostles. Friends, let me share this. As disciples of Jesus, right, as followers of Jesus, we are commanded to share the good news. We are obliged to share the good news, to seek creative ways to tell others of what God has done in our lives. However, how others will receive that news, that is not up to us. I was thinking about this dynamic because of something I experienced this past weekend, and obviously because of what we have going on in this first reading. What I was struck by was this, with this first reading, just how similar this first reading is, and also how dissimilar it is, I should put it that way too, to Peter's sermon that he preached on Pentecost Sunday. Right? Peter gets up there, just like Stephen gets up there, and Peter tells it as it is. So did Stephen, right? He convicts the crowd in front of them that this was Jesus whom you put to death. Godless men putting the Son of God to death. He didn't pull any punches. Stephen didn't pull any punches. There was no punches pulled. He let the people see and know how they were implicated in what happened to the Messiah. Stephen, he's shining a spotlight on their failure and their hard-heartedness and their stiff-neckedness and their uncircumcised of heartness. All of these things. He's shining a spotlight on all of it. And when Peter did the same thing, the Spirit moved in the heart of his listeners and they were cut to the heart. And they asked, what should we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized. 3,000 were baptized that very day. With Stephen, they were infuriated. They ground their teeth. They covered their ears, they dragged him out of the city, and they stoned him to death. The first martyr, overseen by Saul, who would become St. Paul. Now here's the question. Was Peter just a more persuasive orator than Stephen? Was Peter just an especially, I don't know, did he have a mellifluous voice, great vocabulary? Brilliant theologian. No, none of those things. At least the text doesn't give us any reason to suspect that Peter was an especially gifted orator over Stephen. The only conclusion that we can really draw from this is just simply this, that there are some people, it seems, will be ready to hear and receive the gospel, and others aren't ready to hear and receive the gospel. There's a line in the Acts of the Apostles. Very subtle line. But it's one of the apostles reflecting on the hard-heartedness of a particular group that didn't want to receive them. And they just simply say in passing, the Lord had not yet begun to draw them. The Lord had not yet begun to draw them. Like the capacity to be open, the capacity to be receptive is itself a prevenient grace. It is itself. It's a gift from God to be open to God. And there are people, I don't know why this is the case, but there are people that in God's timing, he's just not yet begun to draw them. Some people, it seems, will be ready to hear what we have to say. And others, they'll cover their ears, they'll grind their teeth, and they'll be infuriated. What we are not allowed to do is to weigh the calculus and try and guess what the response is going to be ahead of time. Like, that is not given to us. The obligation is to share the faith, to be a scatterer of seeds, to be vulnerable, to be risky, to put yourself out there. And when we do that, it might be astounding acceptance and conversion, or it might be hostile rejection and persecution. It's not for us to know beforehand the outcome of how it's going to be received. So, real quick story. This past weekend, I had, after the ordination on Saturday, I had a wedding for a dear friend her younger sister got married at my home parish. And did the wedding, went to the reception. And one of the things that you always kind of hold your breath about is, as a priest, who are they seating me with at this reception? Right? Sometimes it's like you're just with grandparents, and that's lovely. Sometimes you're with the atheistic former college roommates, and that's interesting. It's like evangelization, wedding reception planning kind of a thing. Well, this wedding reception, I happen to be with the atheistic college roommates, all fallen away Catholics. And that was interesting. And within about, I don't know, 5 minutes of meeting the people at the table, the guy to my left, nice guy, real nice guy. But we got on the topic of his religious background. He wanted to know why I became a priest, and I told him, and he shares with me, I went to Catholic school, Catholic high school, Catholic college. And I said, and you don't go to church anymore? He goes, yeah, how'd you know? I'm like, well, that's just how that usually goes. So he goes, yeah, I just can't get my head wrapped around why the church hates gay people. I'm like, here we go. All right. So this was one of those moments. It was a Stephen kind of moment. I'm like, everyone at the table, heads turn. I'm like, they've got hard objects and knives in front of them. I don't know how the outcome is going to be, but I just did my best to preach the truth with love and to share what I know to share. And it's not like I'm, like, I know I have gifts for evangelizing. I know I have gifts for apologetics, but I mean, I just did the best I could. In those situations, I feel just about as unprepared as you probably do. It's an uncomfortable situation, right? I did the best I could, and I lived to tell the tale, obviously. And I don't know if I moved the needle at all, but, you know, if anything, I think that they saw that there's a priest who is kind and joyful and who seemed to know a little bit of what he was talking about, and maybe the church teaching isn't exactly what we thought it was. But it was literally this moment. I don't know the outcome of how this is going to go. This could be horrible. I might have to find a new table. But I'm willing to do it, Lord. I'm willing to do it. And I just pray that we would have the courage also in those moments. I would keep having the courage to do it in those moments. Amen.